Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. If you've listened to this show, you've heard me be fascinated over something. And I'm going to bring it up once again because it happened again. I said, as we sit here in the year 2019, it amazes me that Nazis still are in the news. Nazis, real Nazis. Not like what we talked about last week on the show, how some are deeming the Seinfeld episode, the soup Nazi, saying that that's politically incorrect. That would never fly today, like when they made it in the mid-1990s, because neo-Nazis are rising their heads again and all over the world, and you couldn't make jokes about Nazis like the soup Nazi. And I think that's crazy, because the soup Nazi was one of the funniest Seinfelds ever made. But listen to this. Nazi prison guard who lived in New York for decades just died the other day at the age of 95. Nazis are still in the news. I'm talking about real Nazis. A former Nazi labor camp guard who lived in the United States for decades after World War II has died. But he died in Germany. His name? Jacu Paligi. He was a prison guard at a German-occupied Poland concentration camp during World War II. Well, he died last week on Wednesday at the age of 95. He was born in what was then Poland, but is now the Ukraine. He moved to the United States in 1949 after he got the hell out of Germany because they were killing all the Nazis by then. He spent decades living in Queens as one of the five boroughs in New York City before he finally got deported to Germany last August after years of diplomatic wrangling. And I think when they found him last year, we talked about this on the show. This is the Nazi who was living in Queens, New York for years. They found him out. They deported him to Germany. And before anything else could happen to him, I guess we were waiting for Germany to try this guy and put him away. But he was 95. He didn't make it that long, and he died. He became a United States citizen 8 years after he got here in 1957. Can you imagine that? A Nazi prison guard becoming a United States citizen in 1957. He lied to immigration officials about his role in World War II. I think he said he was just a patsy. He claimed, besides being the patsy, that he worked on a farm and that he worked in a factory during World War II. But that was all a lie. And then he lived here, again, from 1949 right up until 2018. A Nazi among us. I mean, a real-life Nazi. I know how people use that word a lot. You know, people that don't like Donald Trump. Oh, Nazi. People, you know, Trump supporters. Oh, Nazis. No, they're not Nazis. We support Donald Trump. We're not Nazis. These are real Nazis. And they're still making the news. There's going to be a day where it all ends, where no more real Nazis are going to be around anymore, and no more real Nazis. I mean, the Nazis of the 30s and the 40s are still making news today. How about that? But this guy lived in America all of those years in New York City. Then we found out about him, deported him to Germany. And I think he was waiting to probably be killed in Germany when he died last Wednesday. And, there's a myth going around about Nazis that their favorite board game is Yahtzee. But the Nazis' favorite game is not Yahtzee. That's just it's one of those myths. What isn't a myth about
I think it's concentration, isn't it?
Well, mm-hmm. I think you might be onto something there. But what is true in that realm, and I've said this before on the show, the bigwig in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, his favorite thing to drink is Yoo-hoo. Netanyahu loves Yoo-hoo, but it's a lie about the Nazis' favorite game being Yahtzees. But wait, hey, there's one less Nazi we have to worry about. Dead at the age of 95. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. For the second time in the, 50-year history, something like that, the NFL, the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints will be hosting the NFC Championship game. And the first time that that happened, 9 years ago, geez, we just got into 2019, didn't we? 10 years ago, the New Orleans Saints, last time they hosted an NFC Championship game, won it and then went on to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl.
And I was there.
And hopefully that'll happen again.
As many people remember who were there, I was there too.
Although yesterday, for a while, it didn't look like it was going to happen as Drew Brees was intercepted on the very first pass that he threw of the ball game. And the Eagles went down and scored a touchdown. Then they scored another touchdown. And the Eagles destroyed the Saints in the first quarter. But after that, the Saints destroyed the Eagles for the last three quarters. And great comeback. What got them going, no doubt about it, was the fake punt. I mean, they were still down 14-0. They hadn't done anything. It was 4th-and-1. And they decided to fake the punt. And instead of punting, they snapped it to the up man, Taysom Hill, who was able to run for a couple of yards and get the first down. And then, on that same drive, and they got inside the 5-yard line, and it was 4th down, 4th-and-goal. A lot of people I was with said, take the 3 points, kick the field goal, make it a 14-3 game. But they didn't. Brees found unknown when this season started, Kirkwood, the wide receiver, who caught the 4th down touchdown pass. And look, I don't like to boil games down to one play or two plays. Those two plays were extremely important, extremely important. But what play was more important than the last play for the Eagles? And the ball went right through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, there they are on the 20-yard line with Nick Foles, the Super Bowl hero, about ready to go in and win the game.
But you talk about 10 years ago, and I was at that game, and you talk about a game coming down to one play. If Garrett Hartley misses that field goal, history is different.
Well, wait a minute. You can even go before Garrett Hartley 10 years ago. If Tracy Porter doesn't intercept Brett Favre, you know, everybody remembers Tracy Porter's interception for winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
Tracy Porter had an interception of Brett Favre of the Vikings in the NFC Championship game that was over midfield. They were one play away. The Vikings were one play away from kicking a field goal that would have sent them to the Super Bowl. That's how close 10 years ago was. And yesterday was just as close with Alshon Jeffrey being the GOAT. And when I say the GOAT, I'm not talking about the greatest of all time. Before the GOAT, greatest of all time, became the GOAT, there used to be something in a ball game called the hero and the GOAT.
Right.
And without a doubt, Alshon Jeffrey is the GOAT. He's wearing the GOAT horns this morning for the Philadelphia Eagles. Dropped the ball right in his hands. They were 20 yards out. I don't know why Nick Foles snapped it with 2 minutes and 1 second left. He tried to hurry up before the two-minute warning, although it wasn't his fault. He put the pass right where it was supposed to be. But Alshon Jeffrey dropping the ball around the 20-yard line in the fourth quarter yesterday. There it was. There was your Saints win.
And I think he just got up off the turf at the Superdome. Was he laid there and laid there and laid there?
Well,
he is going to replay that through his hands billion times in the rest of his life.
Even though he won a Super Bowl last year, that's a career-defining drop right there.
Oh, yeah.
Because him letting the ball go right through his hands. And from what I understand, he only had 3 drops all year, and that might have been his 3rd drop. But that's career-defining. You think of Alshon Jeffrey. Are you going to think of anything he did in the Super Bowl last year, or are you going to think of him dropping that ball against the Saints in the playoffs? And again, I don't like to say that a football game came down to one or two plays, but boy, the fake punt and then the getting the touchdown on fourth down and goal on the 2 or 3 yard line there, and then the drop ball by Alshon Jeffries. But what a entertaining game. And it doesn't get any easier next week. The Los Angeles Rams are they're a good squad. They're a quality team. And we'll see what happens. One more win to get to the Super Bowl this year in Atlanta. Ha! Hey, Atlanta! Sure, you got the Super Bowl, but New Orleans has got the NFC Championship game. You like apples? And you like them apples?
So it started out like yesterday was going to be the fourth out of four really stinko games for the weekend.
That was Kansas City
and my Colts stunk.
Yeah.
Patriots and Chargers stunk.
Yeah, the Cowboy game was okay, but the Rams...
See, I didn't see that one because we went out to the Beatles thing Saturday night.
I mean, the Rams could have beat them by a lot more than they did. But you're right. For what's supposed to be the most exciting weekend for professional football fans in the United States, awful football games. I mean, the Colts just... I don't know what the hell happened to them. They were horrendous.
But you know, with a first year coach and Frank Reich, and to go from a 1-5 start to get as far as they did is pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this. There's some mini controversy going on about that about the Chiefs game, Chiefs and Colts on Saturday, whether or not during one series Patrick Mahomes during his cadence may have invoked the name of Helen Keller.
Third down and 6.
And you go, Liz, you go, Liz. Helen Keller. Right.
Is that some sort of blind man play that I'm not aware of? The Helen Keller?
No, we hear all kinds of things. I mean,
can I hear that again?
Yeah. Third down and 6.
And you go, Liz, you go, Liz.
That could be the Helen Keller, the blind woman play.
Yeah.
The deaf, dumb, and blind woman play.
Could be.
Could be.
And it seems like everybody is using, nobody uses, didn't somebody, when Peyton Manning was still playing, didn't somebody use Omaha as a joke? You know, because that became his famous, Omaha!
Yeah.
Now it seems like everybody is, I don't know if it's 480 or, but and it sounds like old lady. In everyone's cadence, Drew Brees included, it sounds like they're going, "Oh lady, oh lady."
They wouldn't be allowed to say that. That would be deemed sexist.
They'd have
to call it something else.
Well, but Patrick Mahomes is talking about a blind lady, so.
Well, in both the NFC and the AFC, it's the number one seed hosting the number two seed, and you don't see that all the time in the playoffs. So everything's going the way that they are. At least according to the regular season play, everything's going the way it should. But you're right, for the most exciting weekend in professional football, you know, two big games on Saturday, two big games on three out of those games were just, I mean, two of them were unwatchable, and they were blowouts. I mean, the Chargers were just awful in New England, and but the Saints game saved the weekend. And how about Michael Thomas? Unbelievable, the wide receiver. He broke another Saints record yesterday. The most receiving yards in a playoff game, in a postseason game. 171 of them on his 12 catches. And he had some of those catches were on third down and 10, third down and 14. It's like a third and 20. And Michael Thomas, who's one of the top two or three receivers in the NFL anyways, he just kept proving his worth yesterday, and it was something. And what the one thing that stunk about yesterday, the Saints lost Sheldon Rankins, one of their best defensive linemen, their best interior defensive lineman, no doubt about that. I think he blew out his Achilles tendon yesterday, and it's going to be it's going to be a good ball game on Sunday. Hey, the only bad thing. If you bet on the Saints, you lost. And I said Friday when we did the show, and Brewster, I said it to this word. I remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I like the Saints.
It doesn't matter if you remember it, because I can find it. Yes.
I said, I like the Saints, but 9 points is too many. That's exactly what I said on Friday, and that's exactly what happened.
Look at that.
The Saints won, but they won by six. And the early game, we have the early game here in New Orleans 6 days from now on Sunday. Yesterday, we had the late game on Sunday. Next Sunday for the NFC Championship. Here in New Orleans, we have the early game on Sunday. And I got to be, I live downtown New Orleans. After that game, Mike Brewster, the Warehouse District and the French Quarter. And it's, my God. It was like an early Friday or Saturday night. It was not like a Sunday night. I mean, there were people everywhere dancing in the streets, partying. Because again, this is only the second time in the history of the city of New Orleans, the history of the NFL, the National Football League, in the history of the Saints organization, that the conference championship, the NFC championship game, will be held in downtown New Orleans. Extremely exciting.
Now, tell me this. Why is CBS showing the Kansas City game, Kansas City and the Patriots? Doesn't it start to like 8:30, 7:30?
On Sunday night, this coming Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 7:30 East Coast. I think it's 6:30 our time. And I think I think our game's going to be our time about 2:30 or 3, something like that. It's not as early as normal.
Right.
So whenever it is, it's Championship Sunday. So coming up on the show, the Saints, the cheerleaders for the Saints, their uniforms were getting ripped. Not just, and I'm not saying yesterday, it wasn't a big deal, but there was a story going around in a local newspaper about how they changed their uniforms this year. They don't show nearly as much as they used to. They used to wear two-piecers. Now they wear one-piecers. Even that one male Saints cheerleader.
Is he still around?
Yeah, I think he's forced to wear the one-piece, although I think he wears something else. But there were people saying that they did not like this year's Sensations uniforms because they hardly show anything. We're gonna tell you why coming up, and Gail Benson had something to do with that. She covered them up. That's a fact. Stay tuned for that on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans.
Why, looky here. If you would like to be in that number for Sunday's NFC Championship game with a pair of tickets to see your black and gold take on the dreaded,
The Rams from Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Go right now to the website, bayou957.com. They are there. Register in the Rock Box. Good luck. And maybe you'll be there.
How cool is that? Only takes you a second to do, and you could get those tickets. Go and do it. It's free. It doesn't cost nothing. All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you some people were upset with the new Saints cheerleaders outfits this year. They went from the two-piece to the one-piece. And some people weren't happy about that. And we'll tell you why that happened coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Crazy night in the city last night. Crazy night. It wasn't your ordinary Sunday night after the Saints come from behind win to get them to the NFC Championship game next week. Do you know, I saw a couple of people on Facebook, a couple of my Facebook friends commenting on the uniforms of the New Orleans Saints cheerleaders, the Saints, because their uniforms this year in 2018 were different than they were last year in 2017. Did you notice that? I mean, plus they also had a guy too, one of the Saints, who I don't think any of these uniforms they didn't pertain to him. But the female cheerleaders, the Saints. Last year, their uniforms showed a lot more skin. Last year, they wore two pieces.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not this year.
No.
This year, they wore one pieces. And yesterday, one of my Facebook friends said, did they get those uniforms at the Dollar General store? They said, the uniforms stink this year. And it's all because they went from a two-piece last year where they showed more cleavage, they showed more mid-range, they showed more leggage than this year's one-piece. Do you know who was behind that? Gail Benson said, I want to change these Sensations uniforms. I don't want them showing as much cleavage. And that's what happened. Gail Benson had something to do with it.
Well, it is her candy store.
Now it is. And that's something that she chose to do. And look, I hardly even noticed. I hardly even paid attention. I only really noticed after one of my Facebook friends said the new Sensations uniforms suck. They look like they got them at a dollar store. And then I did a little research. Yeah, they changed them all right. And they went from a two-piece to a one-piece. And then I did a little inquiring. Did the new owner, Gail Benson, did she have anything to do with that? I said, oh, yes, she did. And, you know,
I've been meaning to talk to you about your Facebook friends.
Yeah, that's basically what the Facebook post was. He goes, hey, here was the post. And this was after the game.
After the victory.
The new Sensations uniforms suck. That was a Facebook post.
Overflowing with negativity.
Yeah. I mean, do they even show them on television? Do you remember seeing a Sensation yesterday? And I figured
but it's generally passing shots by either to or from a break, I guess.
I figured if they were going to show a Sensation cheerleader yesterday during the high-watched playoff game, it would be the fella, because it's just us and the Rams. Hey, go figure. The only two football teams in the NFL to have a male cheerleader. The Rams have two. The Saints have one. They made it to the NFC Championship game. Both of those teams. You think that's a coincidence?
But what did that guy have for dinner last night? The guy who always posts what he's having for dinner?
Oh.
Or no, he. What is it?
A Facebook friend of mine named Vince, every night at around 6 o'clock, actually anywhere, it's from anywhere from 5 o'clock p.m. to 6:30 p.m.
Is it Central or Eastern time?
Central time. He always asks the same question on his Facebook page. Wants to know what his Facebook friends are having for dinner tonight. To which I've replied a couple of times, why in God's name do you keep asking this question?
Right.
Like, why do you care? Why would you want to know?
Do you have like a hotkey set up, like Alt-T, so you can just respond Taco Bell?
But this isn't the same Facebook friend who asked, you know, why did the Sensations change their uniforms? They look like they got them at the dollar store this year. So I guess
That's a little harsh.
He wants them to go back to the two-piece. But, you know, the Saints are already being sued by one former cheerleader, and I don't know how that worked out. They're one of three NFL teams who are being sued by their cheerleaders this year during the 2018 season. The Washington Redskins are being sued by their cheerleaders, and the New York Jets are being sued as well. And they all say the same thing in a lawsuit. They hardly make any money. They get asked to do crazy things. And the Redskins cheerleaders lawsuit, they are accusing the Redskins of a lot worse than the Saints cheerleaders and the Jets cheerleaders are accusing their organizations. The Redskins cheerleaders are accusing the Redskins of sending them to different places to meet high-profile male Redskins fans, and the women feel that they're being forced to do things that they don't want to do. Now, they didn't say that they were sent there to do sex with anybody, but they're saying it's kind of the feeling in the air that they've had. But the Saint-Satians lawsuit isn't anything like that. They just say the Saint-Satians, this one woman is just saying they hardly get paid any money and they get asked to do all kinds of stuff. But this year, the Saint-Satians cheerleaders outfits changed. They went from a two-piece to a one-piece, kind of the opposite of how society was here in America. Because forever it was always the one-piece on the beach, and then all of a sudden one day, women started showing up with two pieces. I wonder if we'll ever see the three-piece.
I wear a three-piece when I go to the beach. Yes.
So, anyways, if you want to know why the Saint-Satians uniforms changed. That's why Gail Benson had a lot to do with that, and she's the owner now. She is now tied with Oprah Winfrey on the list of the Forbes richest Americans. She's tied with Oprah. I saw a show over the weekend. It was actually on Friday night on Channel 4 here in New Orleans, and Eric Paulson sat down with her for
with Oprah.
No, with Gail Benson.
Oh.
And Eric Paulson knew Gail Benson long before she was Gail Benson. He knew Gail Benson long before she married Tom Benson. He knew her years ago in the 80s when he just found a place to live in New Orleans. And he needed an interior designer. And he called Gail. She was the interior designer. And he said that he met her through his old friend, Angela Hill. And that's how he became friends with Gail. And he was more surprised than anybody when he found out that his old friend, Gail, the interior designer, married New Orleans Saints owner Tom Benson.
Hmm.
Do you know where their first dinner date was? Gail and Tom?
I don't.
And she had no idea they were going to get married. This was just the first date.
Give me a hint.
It's on St. Charles Avenue.
Mr. John's Steakhouse.
Not far.
Hmm.
Across the street and up a couple of blocks. Delmonico's.
Hmm.
Now, when they got together, I don't know if it was Emeril's Delmonico's yet.
Which way are you going up the street? It'd be this way.
No, down the street.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know when they had their first date, Gail and Tom Benson. I don't know if it was Emeril's Delmonico's yet, or if it was still the old Delmonico's. I'm not sure. I got that one. I got to go look up.
We'll research that.
But how about that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they'll make. If you're not happy with the Saint-Satians outfits, hopefully, who knows? Maybe they'll adjust these again for next year, or maybe they'll say, I don't care what you like. We're gonna keep these things, and we're not gonna show as much as we used to show.
In my opinion, the NFL has to go to hell.
Hey, Donald Trump's coming to New Orleans today. We'll talk about that coming up. Yeah, just like it's not often where the NFC championship game happens in New Orleans, it's not often when a sitting president comes to New Orleans. We'll tell you what's going on with that coming up.
And I understand it's standing room only to see him sitting.
On Bayou 95.7.
Thank you!
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Brewster, you saw a very entertaining show on Saturday night,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I had the pleasure of attending with Mrs. Brewster the Liverpool Legend Show at the beautiful Jefferson Performing Arts Center. I had never been in that building.
Isn't that place awesome?
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's wonderful. It's brand new. It is spectacular. It is a giant. You look up and the it's like there's no roof. It just keeps going. It's a beautiful place. I had the honor of introducing the band on stage, and it was a tremendous show. It was in two parts. They did the early Beatles up through, up through Rubber Soul or Revolver.
And then
an intermission. And then they come out with the Sgt. Pepper regalia, then they do the rest.
Yeah, at intermission, they all took acid and smoked weed.
I can't confirm nor deny those rumors.
Hmm.
But got to meet a couple of the guys. I want to say thanks to Steve. If I get his name wrong, I apologize. Steve Monasteri, who is a local guy, travels around now, but puts that show together. Also, he's behind the Pink Floyd Laser Spectacular that came through here a while back. So, yeah, and a great show, and not just not just a cardboard cutout thing. I mean, these guys are tremendous musicians. You can tell.
Aren't they the only Beatles tribute that is
their calling card is that they were handpicked by Louise Harrison, and there was actually a couple of film presentations that she narrated, and one was a little mini tribute to her brother George, and that was it was rather touching. It was nice. The George character at one point the lights come up, and I guess this might have been the start of the second half of the show following the intermission. He's sitting cross-legged, or however you do that Indian, what is that called? I can't think what that's called, but he's actually playing a sitar, and he's actually playing it, and the sitar is not an easy instrument to play. So they did that, and they did a couple of costume switches after Sergeant Pepper. And the interesting thing is, I did a little digging on the internet. They have, again, it's Liverpool Legends. They have their own theater in Branson, Missouri. And so the show changes all the time. I was backstage and saw them make a change to the set list on the fly. For whatever reason, they crossed out Strawberry Fields Forever and put in Lady Madonna.
Huh.
And the on Saturday night, the John Lennon character for the final set wore like an army jacket. And kind of like you would see, there's a concert with Eric Clapton and the Plastic Ono Band, and he's sort of dressed like that. But if you go on their website, Liverpool Legends, sometimes he comes out like John with the really long hair and the white suit from Abbey Road,
cool,
from the album cover. So they swap it out.
Yeah, not
and
only
keep the show fresh.
I've been on their website. Not only. Are they great musicians, like you said, but they have all the details down. They look just like them. And the details to the point where the bass player, the Paul McCartney, is lefty.
Right. He's a left-handed bass player.
Yeah, I wonder when they were putting this together if they said, we've got to nail everything, and all right-handed bass players either learn how to play left-handed or don't apply for this gig.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's the latter rather than the former. He's actually, he's got the Hofner bass. The violin bass that Paul used early on. When he does Yesterday solo, he's playing a right-handed Epiphone acoustic, but he's turned it over and playing it left-handed.
Swap
the strings. Yeah, it was a great show. Great. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
And you said how nice, because I've been there too. The Jefferson Performing Arts Center is over there. It's right next to when they built it, which is a whole nother story. The boondoggle that was. But it's right next to the baseball field that they always called the Shrine on Airline. That's
right,
where the Zephyrs and the Baby Cakes played. It's safe to say now the Shrines on Airline. Because that place is a shrine too, the Jefferson Performing Arts Center there.
Yep. Great time, and I met a lot of listeners, fans of the show.
Cool.
They asked me, is it really Osterling? And I said, yes. Ends in G.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah. Coming up next, we look at today in history. On this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck, and we hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this radio show, you know what we call the segment, right?
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
And today's National Day, one of them anyway, is a particular food item. And I can tell you that were I to enjoy this food item today, and I might actually have to do so, and I can tell you where I would do it. Today is National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day. And it just puts me in the mind of Stein's Deli on Magazine Street.
Oh, the place is great.
Oh, I love Stein's Deli.
I mean, cured meats at their best. Cured meats.
And you're going to ask me why it's National Hot Pastrami Day, and I'm going to say I don't know, so we'll just dispense with that. It's also National Dress Up Your Pet Day and National Clean Off Your Desk Day.
Huh. I have a filthy desk, but my pet is always dressed very nice, so go figure. January 14th. It was today in 1973.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The undefeated Miami Dolphins beat the Washington Redskins in Super Bowl VII. And it's the last team, or that's the first and only time a team has ever gone undefeated in an entire NFL season. The New England Patriots almost did that about a decade or so ago, maybe a little over. But then Eli Manning with the miracle fourth down play when he got out of that sack. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we'll ever see another undefeated team win, you know, every game in the regular season, then win all of their playoff games in the Super Bowl. I don't know if we'll ever see that again.
And the Saints' best was 14-0 to start?
They were 13-0.
13-0.
And then they lost their last three in 2009, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
I want to say this one more time.
Okay.
In case you missed it the first time. Sure, Atlanta has the Super Bowl, but New Orleans has the NFC Championship game.
I don't understand that Atlanta has the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl's in Atlanta, but the Falcons aren't playing in it.
The Super Bowl's in Dallas.
No, this year.
When's it in Dallas?
I don't know, but it's in Atlanta this year.
Oh, I thought it was in Dallas.
Yeah, the Super
Bowl. Because we talked about that, and we talked about the Cowboys could play at home.
No, no, no.
You said that on Friday.
No,
off
no,
off the
no.
air. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
No, the Super Bowl's in Atlanta this year, and Falcons won't be playing in it, and the Saints might.
But you said that. You said that off the air. Now, I don't record everything you say off the air. Remember we talked about the Colts and the Cowboys, and you said, wow, it could be...
No, I said if the Cowboys beat the Rams on Saturday and Philadelphia beat the Saints yesterday, the NFC Championship game would have been in Dallas because Dallas was the higher seed than Philadelphia.
See, when you...
But neither of those things happened.
When you talk that much, I just tune you out. I stop listening.
That didn't surprise me. January 14th. 30 years earlier than 1973, today, Franklin Delano Roosevelt became the first president to travel by airplane on official United States official business.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. What year is this?
1943.
Why today doesn't suck.
This is the first time ever a president, a sitting president, got on an airplane for official United States business and traveled by that way of transportation to do said business.
And FDR was truly a sitting president.
He sure was.
Rather tasteless on my part. But.
January 14th. It was today in 1954.
Why today doesn't suck.
Pretty big marriage. Marilyn Monroe got married today in 1954, and she married the Yankee Clipper, Joe DiMaggio. Although that wasn't the happiest of marriages, they said Joe D was kind of crazy with her popularity, and he wasn't happy when she went and was filming that movie on the street in New York and over the subway.
7 Year Itch, right?
Yeah, and then her dress went up in the air.
I think Joe might have been happier if she'd washed the platinum bleach blonde out of her hair and gone back to being Norma Jean Baker. He was not, he kept her under his thumb to the degree that he could.
And that's why I guess that marriage didn't work out too well. January 14th. Hey, today in 1970.
Why today doesn't suck?
Diana Ross and the Supremes performed their final concert. And you know what's interesting about this? Obviously a big Motown act. I'm a big Motown fan. But when the Supremes were coming up through Motown, they were just the Supremes because all three of them sang. They sang different parts and different they sang different songs.
Right.
It wasn't until right towards the end there where it was Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Right.
And she became bigger than them. And then today in 1970, they played their last show together.
It was on this day, January 14th, 1963.
Why today doesn't suck.
That was their last show. Well, on this date that year, Charlie Watts performed his first concert as drummer for the Rolling Stones at the Flamingo Jazz Club in Soho. That would be Soho outside of London as opposed to Soho in New York.
And that was in 63, is that?
63.
Because he's the oldest Rolling Stone.
3 years later, on January 14th, 1966.
Why today doesn't suck?
David Bowie releases his debut single, Can't Help Thinking About Me, on Parlophone Records in the UK. That's Warner Brothers here, stateside. And he also changed his stage name to David Bowie from, you know, birth name?
David Jones.
David Jones. And he did that because he didn't want to be confused with Monkey Davy Jones.
And he didn't also want to have to keep up with the Joneses.
Exactly. Birthdays today. Born on January 14th, Jeff Tate, Queensryche lead singer.
Hell of a voice.
Zakk Wylde also. And this leads me to remind you that coming up for Valentine's Day, and I know we're about a month away, in fact, exactly 1 month away, it's going to be Bayou 95.7, We Love Foo for Valentine's Day. We say, born on this date in 1969.
Why? Today doesn't suck.
Happy birthday, Dave Grohl.
Hey, how about that? And you know, you mentioned Zakk Wylde. He was one of Ozzy Osbourne's guitarists when Ozzy was solo. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to form his own band, the Black Label Society. And they're real good. He's a stud guitar player, that dude.
And on this date, January 14th, 1999.
Why today doesn't suck.
More Stones in the news. That's when Jerry Hall files for divorce from Mick Jagger. They had been together since 1977 and married since 1990. So they lasted 9 years legally, and before that, living together without benefit of clergy.
Yeah, too bad that marriage didn't work out for those two kids.
Yes.
But after that, he just went with one of the other thousands of women. And
possibly men. Well, not possibly. David, the aforementioned David Bowie being one of them.
Well, what was that video? Dancing in the Streets that those two guys made?
Yes.
Yeah, that made Billy Squier's video, the one that ended his career, made that look masculine.
Yes, it did.
Hey, I got one other celebrity birthday for you, Brewster.
All righty.
Happy birthday in hell to Benedict Arnold. he was born today in 1741.
Why today doesn't suck.
I mean, think about it. To this day, if you think of American traitors, who is the first guy that still comes to mind all of these years later? There's no one that was a bigger traitor in this country than Benedict Arnold.
You got me there.
And I've got one more, and this was kind of creepy.
And finally.
Finally. It was today in 2003.
Why today doesn't suck.
Pete Townsend from The Who got arrested. They arrested him at his London home on suspicion of a number of offenses connected with child pornography. Didn't he kind of, including making of indecent images. And didn't he?
I was not aware of that.
Didn't he kind of talk his way out of that? Or?
Well, he claimed. Well, the couple of interesting events in the life of Pete Townsend. He came out in a book and said that he knew what it was like to be female.
Yes.
Basically owning up to, I shouldn't say owning up to, but revealing to the public that he had had bisexual experiences.
So not just Mick Jagger and David Bowie.
Correct. And then, as you mentioned, that event, and he sort of wriggled his way out of that saying he was doing research. He was in possession of child pornography for the research aspect.
Mm. And by the way, The Who...
And they're going on tour.
I was just
going
to say, coming this year in 2019, hopefully we'll see a New Orleans date. But The Who, and I know, who's next, who's last, this could be it.
They have been on their farewell tour since 1982.
Since Keith Moon died.
Yes.
And there you go.
That's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, the President of the United States of America will be in our great city today, New Orleans. We'll tell you about it coming up.
And he'll be on the show, right?
I wish.
Oh.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Last year, I think the post office, the United States Post Office, lost anywhere in between $3 and $4 billion. And that was a good year for them, because I think they've lost more in the past. And it's incredible how they're still open.
I thought you were going to say they lost 3 or 4 billion packages.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I'm just talking about the financial aspect. Did you know this coming January 27th, the price of a first-class stamp will jump from 50 cents to 55 cents. They're doing this for a couple of reasons. Obviously, financial reasons. I just told you they never even come close to making money. But this is the post office saying that this is the only way they can compete with email, which is much faster and free. And they're saying, look, hopefully 55 cents is as high as we'll go if this internet thing turns out to be some sort of just a fad or something. That's, get set for that. I mean, when was the last time, Brewster, when was the last time that you mailed
one? I'm gonna pull every segment we've talked about this.
But that's why I talk about it.
And play the greatest hits of it. No, it's just, you say, okay, well, email is free. Well, it's hard to get like a check or something, a document or something like that, something you have to sign that has to be physically signed on paper.
Well, you can usually attach that to an email, or we still have the fax machine.
No, no. I mean, if you're talking about something you're receiving from an attorney is, it depends on what it is. If you're talking about, like, I'm receiving documents I need to, we're working on settling my dad's estate. And there are things that I don't see in my lifetime that will be handled via email. There are just certain documents. They may have to be signed. They've got to be notarized. How do you do notary? How do you do that via email? So I agree with you that no one except maybe a couple of grandmothers are writing longhand letters out to anyone and putting a stamp on them and mailing them. I'm sure there are a few. I'm sure there are people who refer to themselves as being off the grid and refuse to use electronic transferred information. But it's you're thinking of my grandma sending me $5 for my birthday. That's not happening.
Well, it's funny,
she's dead, number one.
It's funny you bring that up, because it was last year, maybe a year and a half ago or last year, the last time I remember sending something via the United States mail. And it was a check that I sent to my sister, because I was buying my nephew, her son, mm-hmm. a car, because he graduated high school.
Yeah,
and he had honors.
Hollywood.
No, but the last time I mailed something through the United States, where I had to get the envelope, I had to lick it, and I had to put something in it and close it, and then I had to get the stamp and I had to put it on there. It was probably about a year and a half ago.
But now, even a year and a half ago, if your sister or your nephew had a PayPal account, you could have done all of that through PayPal. PayPal is great.
That's true.
PayPal is great. I mean, you have a PayPal account. You can put funds into it from your bank account, savings account, checking account, and then it's basically wiring money, but it's all done like an email transaction.
Oh, PayPal rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, speaking of PayPal, something a little bit different. The GoFundMe that was set up. You see GoFundMes all the time on Facebook and raising money for people and such. Well, there was a GoFundMe that was set up, and it got over $20 million for the border wall on the United States-Mexico border. Well, GoFundMe says it's not going to there. They're going to send that money back to anybody. If you donated to that or whatever, you're going to get your money back. We'll explain that coming up, and the president is going to be in town
To cash that check, right?
That he's going to be in town today. We'll tell you what to watch out for traffic-wise here on, well, and other things, on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. More coming up later on yesterday's massive New Orleans Saints win, as for the second time in history, the NFC Championship game will be played here in New Orleans. And that's on Sunday. Very exciting, because we all know what happened the first time the NFC Championship game was played in New Orleans. Saints win, go to the Super Bowl, and win. So still feeling good this morning about that. More on that coming up after. So something that made news over the last month or two was a GoFundMe account that was set up for Americans to donate whatever they could, and that money would go towards building the wall on the United States-Mexican border. The person who set that up is a triple amputee Air Force veteran and motivational speaker. His name is Brian Colfage. He set up that GoFundMe with the intention of raising $1 billion to fund a wall that would run along our country's southwest border. As of this past Saturday night, there was in between $20 and $21 million that had been donated to that GoFundMe for that wall. And because they only got about not even 21% to their goal, the people that run GoFundMe said, okay, this is over. We're stopping this. And if you donated to this, whether you donated $1, $5, $20, $100, you're getting your money back. You know, it's interesting. Most GoFundMes, if you pay any attention to these things on social media, it's the newest, trendiest way to try to raise money. A lot of times I'll see, hey, I just lost my job. I haven't found one. I set up a goal for $5,000 to help me until I find my next job. Would you help me out? I've seen those. I've seen some of the 800,000 federal employees, the federal government employees that have been off work because of the partial government shutdown. I've seen some GoFundMe set up for those people. Hey, we live paycheck to paycheck, and I know we're going to get our full pay as soon as we get back to work. We're going to get made up for this. It's all cool. But we still don't know where our next paycheck is coming from, and now we don't know where our next meal's coming from. I've seen a few of those. This was the biggest GoFundMe, I think, in history. I mean, when you're trying to raise $1 billion on GoFundMe. And the fact of the matter is they got almost $21 million there, and that upset a lot of people, especially a lot of people that don't like Donald Trump. That's who that upset. Because they said, geez, think about how many American people over $20 million could feed. Think about how many people, over $20 million could help out here in America. So why would you send it to go build a wall? And by the way, that's something that either we should be paying for, or I always thought Mexico was going to pay for it. Because this is the main issue.
Well, the president says he never said that now.
Well, now he's backpedaling on that. Mm. He's saying that what I meant by that was through a trade deal and he did get the new NAFTA done, the new North American Free Trade Agreement with Mexico and Canada done. And he's saying it was through one of those that I was saying that Mexico was going to pay for it. For him, he has to get this wall built. He has to. This was the main issue he ran on. And we're over two years into his presidency, and he hasn't done the main thing he said he was going to do, and that was build the wall. If you remember the Trump campaign when he was battling in the Republican primary, when he beat those 13 Republicans, the two biggest chants that you heard at every Trump rally led by him were build the wall and lock her up.
I like the second one. That's my favorite.
He hasn't done either. He was talking about Hillary Clinton in her emails.
See, I was under the impression that private citizens could not donate or send money to the government. But apparently that is not the case. I'm reading some things on the fly here from fiscal.treasury.gov. I mean, it all has to go to the Department of the Treasury. And then has to be appropriated by Congress. You can't say, okay, here's X million dollars from a GoFundMe, build the wall. That's not going to happen. However, under the question, how do I make a contribution to the U.S. government? The answer, citizens who wish to make a general donation to the U.S. government may send contributions to a specific account called Gifts to the United States. That account was established in 1843 to accept gifts, such as bequests from individuals wishing to express their patriotism to the United States. Money deposited into this account is for general use by the federal government and can be available for budget needs. These contributions are considered an unconditional gift to the government Financial gifts can be made by check or money order, or send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Merkle Press, New York, New York.
Yeah, how about that?
So, but I had always heard that, you know, you'll hear stories about how little Sally wanted to help with the national debt and sent President Nixon $7
yeah,
and
well,
12 cents, I and mean, it was sent back.
But you could still, if you wanted to help with the national debt, there's a way to do that. Just like the people that complain that taxes aren't high enough.
Right, and they want to pay more.
They can pay more. They can freely pay more if they don't think that the taxes are high enough. But all I know, when it comes to this wall, Brewster, he's got to get this thing built. This is the people that voted for him. This was at the top of their list of why they voted for him. So again, he's got to get this thing done. And of course, we know Democrats don't want a wall. Maybe a few years ago, they wanted a wall. If you go to YouTube, you'll see people like Chuck Schumer and Barack Obama. You'll see them saying we have to do something about the security issue at the Mexican border. You know, their tone has changed since then. But I want a more secure border. I know that. And if a wall is the way to secure our border better, then so be it. But don't you want a more secure border? And that's why we're sitting in this partial government shutdown right now, where 800,000 non-essential workers, government workers, are not working, or they're working for free. And again, they're going to get all of their money as soon as they get back.
Right.
They're going to get the back pay. But
the estimates are so wild. The estimates are anywhere from $8 billion to as much as $70 billion. And likely somewhere in the $500 million a year range for maintenance of maintaining this wall.
Well,
it's
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime. I really don't.
I don't think anybody knows the exact to the dollar price what the wall will cost. But he's asking for $5 billion, and the president is, and the Democrats are saying we're not going to give you $5 billion for that. You know, it's interesting. The Democrats are fine with free heroin syringe needles for addicts, and they're fine with you never hear them complaining about money being too much of a price for anything.
But you just said it this morning that the government can't even deliver the mail in an expedient and thrifty fashion.
They're losing billions of dollars every year delivering the mail.
So you want to give them anywhere from $100 billion, whatever. X billion dollars for this wall?
You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather hire a private sector company. They'd come in, they'd do it for less price, and they would do it on time. Anything that the government can do, a private sector company could do in less time, and they could always make their budget.
But see, you just, in doing that, you just added another 10 to 12 years in the wrangling back and forth. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be a wall. You heard it here first.
Why didn't he do this in his first 2 years when he had full control of the House and he had full control of the Senate? Why couldn't he? They would have signed on. Hey, what do you need? $5 billion, $6 billion? They would have. But then he lost the House of Representatives at the midterm elections in November, and now he's not going to get anything from the Democrats. They're going to fight him with anything he wants to do, because he's hated so much. They're going to fight him. And by the way, he is going to be in New Orleans, President Donald Trump, today. He's going to be over at the convention center, because there's a farmers convention. And I looked over the weekend, because I was hoping, I mentioned this on Friday, I was hoping, because there was a farmers convention in town this weekend, I was hoping they'd bring some of their daughters, you know, the farmers' daughters. I didn't see too many of them, though. But Donald Trump is coming to speak to the farmers at the convention center here in New Orleans, and then he's going to get right out of town. So it's just going to be the same like when George W. Bush came here when he was president, like when Barack Obama came here when he was president.
Hmm.
They land at the airport, and then the I-10 is closed off from the airport to the exit when you get off, and then the roads around the convention center are already closed off now. For Trump to be, he'll probably be here no more than an hour, but that's how that works. Why doesn't he take a helicopter from the airport to the convention center?
Maybe he will. See what I did there?
I would like that. I don't think that's going to happen, but why doesn't he do that?
I just told you. Maybe he will.
No. So
that's what they want you to think.
Be careful today during the day when you're approaching or getting on I-10 because the cops will be all over that, and it's going to stop all of that for a while.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you for that traffic update.
That's a very good traffic update.
Lame.
All right, coming up on the show, legendary funny man Mel Brooks says that because of political correctness, comedy could die.
Well, you don't need to do the story now because you gave it away in the tease.
But I'll tell
you. Mel Brooks said,
I'll tell you what else he said.
Well, I don't care now because you already gave it away.
Well.
He said some other stuff.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And you'll hear about it on Bayou 95.7.
The John Osterlin Morning Show. Only on Bayou 95.7.
Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. You know, we've seen this a couple of times, a few times in New Orleans, and I've talked about it on the show. I love ride-sharing services. I love Uber and Lyft, and I always wonder now that they're everywhere how we lived without them. But every so often, you see people making mistakes when it comes to getting into an Uber or into a Lyft. And they get harmed because of that. And that happened over the weekend here in New Orleans, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Some guy got into the wrong Lyft ride. There were two women in the car. I guess he was standing there, and they drove up by him, and they said, "Hey, are you looking for a ride?"
Mm.
"Oh yeah, you must be my Lyft." And the guy got in. And then the drivers robbed him when he tried to escape. He got in the wrong car. He's a 36-year-old guy. Like I said, it was about 3 in the morning, Saturday night into Sunday morning. I think the first mistake he made was to get into a car with two women in it. Because usually every Uber or Lyft I've ever gotten into, only one driver.
No, there's one failsafe that Uber has, and I'm guessing that Lyft has it too. I've never taken a Lyft, but I've taken Uber extensively, and you have the driver's, or I'm sorry, you have the license plate of the car that's coming to pick you up. And I never, ever, ever, like if Mrs. Brewster and I are taking an Uber together, she will make sure it's the driver. Hey, are you Ahmed or whoever? And then I will check the license plate to make sure,
sure.
That's, well, and then you have no problem.
Yeah. An Uber, they have the name and they actually have a picture of the car that the driver is driving. So this guy must have been hammered. I mean, think about it. It's 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, Saturday night into Sunday morning. But just be careful. There are people out there that are trying to take advantage of people. But this was probably the victim's fault for getting into the wrong rideshare car. All right, coming up next, we'll tell you about what a legend, maybe the biggest still living legend when it comes to comedy. What he has to say about political correctness on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Boy, it's very cold in New Orleans this morning, but people don't care because in 6 days, the NFC Championship game will be here for the second time in history. Fired up about that.
And if you'd like to attend and be in that number in the Superdome, go to our website, bayou957.com. Register in the Rock Box for your chance to win a pair of black and gold tickets as they take on Los Angeles this coming Sunday. Good luck.
Yeah, it only takes a second and don't cause nothing. Good luck. More on the Saints game coming up.
How about, we haven't talked about this, how about Sarah Thomas, the first NFL big-time female referee?
Yeah, she was one of the officials yesterday.
Yes.
Good job, and I'm glad nothing happened where people are screaming, whoa, she blew that call.
Right. Although I did see a meme going around this morning for Sarah Thomas, the NFL's first female referee. She threw a flag from something that happened 3 years ago.
Although, you said referee, and we look at them all as referees. They're all officials.
Umpire.
The referee is the guy that actually has the microphone and talks. That'll be something when we have the first female referee. That will be something. But it was neat that we had the first female officiate a playoff game.
Right. I predict when we have the first speaking female referee, that she'll get called for delay of game.
More on the Saints game yesterday coming up. So something we've talked about a lot on this show was just talked about by one of the, if not the biggest comedic legends in our country right now, as we're sitting here on January 14th, 2019. The great Mel Brooks was just interviewed. And he says that he's never been a fan of political correctness. And in his opinion, and he's not the only one, I feel this way, political correctness is killing American comedy. We've talked about how comedians like Jerry Seinfeld said, I'm not going to play college campuses anymore because these kids are just offended. Everything offends them. And if Jerry Seinfeld is saying that, he's one of the least offensive comics out there. I mean, think about it. But even, and we talked about it on the show last week, a handful of Seinfeld sitcom shows that he made back in the 90s are now being looked at as politically incorrect, racist, sexist by millennials, saying that, yeah, they could have flown in the mid-90s, but those shows, those Seinfeld shows, wouldn't have been able to get made today. And we're talking about things like when he was dating the Native American woman and the soup Nazi was another one, and there was a few of them. We went over it all last week on the show. If you missed it, we have the podcast of the show. You could always go and catch up and get that at Bayou957.com. But when Mel Brooks, and now this guy,
and you mentioned one of the few remaining comedy legends, and just when you said that a few minutes ago before the top of the hour, Mel Brooks, Bob Newhart. I mean, who is left of that age, of that era?
It's just about it, because you're talking about guys that are at least 90 years old.
Right. Carl Reiner.
Yeah, we have about as many of them left as we have World War II veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what's interesting about Mel Brooks saying it. Well, A, he's a Democrat. And if you're looking for where political correctness comes from, if you're gonna blame one side of the political aisle, Democrats or Republicans, it's usually always Democrats that are complaining about jokes being too offensive, whether racist, sexist, whatever the case may be.
And B, he's Jewish.
Well, that's probably why he's a Democrat. That I don't understand, because most Democrats in this country, they're not friends of Israel when it comes to their issue with Palestine. But anyways, that's not why I brought this up. I brought this up because when someone like Mel Brooks says political correctness is killing American comedy, he's right. He's right. There used to be a time in this country where a comedian or whoever could tell a joke that was on the edge when it came to being racy. And, you know, if people didn't like it, if they thought, okay, well, fine, I don't like that guy, whatever, I won't watch his comedy, I won't listen to him anymore, whatever the case would be. We don't live in that place anymore. America in 2019 is a place where if someone on television or on the radio or a performer or someone anywhere says something that offends some people, they go after his career. They go after the people, his bosses, they demand that they fire this person. They go after the sponsors, the people that sponsor the television show or whatever the case may be. And in my opinion, don't you have something better to do? I've always looked at it this way. If someone told a joke that I thought was offensive or that I thought I didn't like, all right, fine. I really won't pay that much attention to this show anymore. I won't really listen to this person anymore. But I would never say, well, let me try to ruin this person's livelihood. And when it comes to comedy, when you're talking about much of comedy, not all comedy, but much of it, Isn't there usually someone always getting a little bit offended? Doesn't that mean if it's really, really funny, really entertaining, that somebody somewhere got offended? That's how it was for a long time. I'm not talking about all comedy, but I'm talking about a lot of it. But now, with the mindset of the millennials, where if they hear something that they don't like, they want to run to a safe space and hide. They want to they want to run somewhere and just get away from it because their mental state is so fragile that they can't deal with hearing something that in the least bit might offend someone else. And according to Mel Brooks, now remember, this is the guy that made the movie Blazing Saddles. We all can agree that movie would never be allowed to be made today. It would never be allowed to be made today. If that movie was ever made today, you would have millennials and you would have the offended go after not only the people that made the movie, everybody in the movie, they would go after the studio that paid for the movie to be made. They would want it put out of business. They would want to shut it down instead of saying, well, I just won't go see that movie, which is how things used to be. I don't like where we are now. Brewster, it's scary. I mean, it's scary that talented comedic people are afraid to even maybe go somewhere or tell a joke about something because they will offend too many people to the point where they might not be able to tell jokes anymore.
But it doesn't even start there. It doesn't start with going to seeing someone actually performing comedy. I think what Mel Brooks is talking about is actually has a more a base start, and that is just the evaporation of people having a sense of humor. You know, there are two things that make up what you were talking about, making up comedy as far as at its root, it has to offend something. I think comedy at its root, first of all, it's irony. It's irony. It's being able to laugh at the human condition. And whether you choose to laugh at yourself and do a self-deprecating type thing, like a Rodney Dangerfield, or more of a Don Rickles thing, like a, you know, I'm okay, you're not okay type of a thing. It starts with laughing at yourself, laughing at others, and that's an end of it. But this generation, I guess it's the Y generation. Millennials, I think, are getting to the end of it. I mean, you and I know some millennials who operate in that mode. But it's the drying up, the evaporation, and I mean that literally, of the ability to have a sense of humor.
Well, I told the joke, Brewster, not that long ago on the show.
Let me get ready here.
Well, I told the joke on the show, and I told it on Facebook, and most people got it, but there were a few people that said that I was hateful. The joke that I told was I just read Caitlyn Jenner gained 30 pounds. I guess that's trans fat. It was a play on words. I wasn't hating Caitlyn Jenner. Well, I wasn't. I don't have a problem with trans people. Whatever. Be who you want to be. That's great.
Okay, but I have an acquaintance who I just saw put on Facebook. She said that is just off limits. That you can't use Caitlyn Jenner at all. Caitlyn Jenner has become a version of the N word. It's just off limits. You can't go there. You can't say it.
And I can respectfully disagree with that. It was a play on words.
And the joke that they're talking about that she was making reference to was this ridiculous age side by side photo comparison, which I'm just sick of now after about 2 days, even though I did one.
The Facebook thing that says how hard has aging hit
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Yeah. And you have Bruce Jenner on one side and Caitlyn on the other side. She made the analogy, and she's not a close friend of mine. She's an acquaintance. That's a great word for what we are, but I just happened to be friends with her and saw her comment. I didn't join in the commenting. But she equated that, putting Bruce Jenner on one side and Caitlyn Jenner on the other side and making... using that to do the age quiz joke, or whatever you want to call it. She said that's like putting a cancer victim before and after side by side and then making fun.
I don't agree with that. How about some of the restaurants in America restaurants in different states, when you go to use their bathrooms, they have a picture of Bruce Jenner for the men's room, and they have a picture of Caitlyn Jenner for the women's room.
Right.
There have been a couple of restaurants. I think one of them closed down because some people got so offended by that. I mean, can you imagine?
Well, but that's all about the remedy. What's your remedy for that if you're offended? Don't go there. But for some people, that's not good enough anymore. They want it shut down. They don't want anyone to go there.
But here's what Mel Brooks is saying, and what I'm saying, and what Jerry Seinfeld is saying, and I can say it because I've said it before. So what if you're offended? So what? Who cares if you're offended? If you're offended, don't watch or listen to whatever offended you. But don't go out of your way to try to end those people's lives, to try to end those people's way of feeding their families because you're offended. If you're offended, who cares?
Because we live in a world now, and I've talked about the friend I had for almost 30 years who was so offended by a political thread that I made myself a part of, but then took back what I had posted. You know, he unfriended me, and we haven't spoken since. Those people. That's not good enough. That remedy of you saying just who cares if you're offended, that doesn't fly with them anymore.
And that's their problem. It shouldn't be ours. Well, Mel Brooks did this interview on the 50th anniversary, because he's 91 years old now, mm-hmm. and he did the interview for the 50th anniversary of the great movie he directed, The Producers. Now, look at the premise of that. There's Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. They're singing and dancing.
Right.
Again, I don't think that movie could be made today. Mel Brooks said, quote, "I've never been a fan of political correctness. I've been a fan of decent behavior, which is different from political correctness, because political correctness demands too much respect for being good. And comics are not good. We are bad. We whisper into the king's ear. We tell him the truth. And that's our job. It's our job to say it like it is. And sometimes use the words that we use in the street. You can't always play ball with the system. You have to strike out and tell the truth."
Very well said.
For a 91-year-old guy, very well said. And the millennial generation, whoever you want to blame for this, it has to stop. Because they're so sensitive, and the word snowflake has been used, but it's killing American comedy.
But you understand, the genie's out of the bottle, the horse is out of the gate, whatever analogy you'd like to use. We're not going back. We're not going back to that time. It's not going. If anything, it's going to be more. It's not only snowflake; it's snowball. It's going to continue to. Gather steam, because again, it's about those, again, it goes back to the bully culture. Those who have been bullied, those who have been wronged, no matter what it is, their train is boarding and is a high speed train, and it's not going to stop.
Well, that's the death of American comedy. That's the death of American comedy.
Not arguing with you.
When someone can't tell a joke because they're afraid it's going to offend too many people, and then those people will do whatever they can to end that person's livelihood. That's the death of American comedy, and it's a scary place we're going.
Yes.
Because we have something called the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, our Constitution.
So now you're going back to the Lenny Bruce days where comedy clubs were, you had to walk down from street level to comedy clubs, and you had to be careful that the police might be hanging around outside waiting for you to say a dirty word, and that's it, cuff you and bring you in.
All right, coming up next, someone here in New Orleans just got shot over an extension cord. That just happened. We'll give you the details here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Did you see a cruise ship? The Royal Caribbean cruise ship Oasis of the Sea was cut short after 400 passengers came down with diarrhea. I mean, some guests got so sick they actually stopped eating. They said it's the only thing really that could get people to stop eating on a cruise ship. But they had to come back early, and I guess those people are doing okay now. Well, that would suck. Wait so long to go on a cruise and then can't stop going to the bathroom. I do that off the cruise. That's not why I come on a cruise. All right, coming up next, someone in New Orleans was killed in a dispute over an extension cord. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So it's very exciting this morning in New Orleans, knowing that the Saints are one NFC championship game here away from going back to the Super Bowl. And we're going to talk more about it in a half an hour. But, I mean, it was almost like you watched two different games yesterday, because the first quarter, the Saints literally got nothing. Zero. Squadouche. Nada. And Philadelphia went up and down the field a couple of times. But then after that first quarter, that script got flipped. And the Saints completely dominated the Philadelphia Eagles for the last three quarters of that game. And good stuff. And again, we'll talk more about it in a half an hour. You know, people get shot for a lot of different reasons here in the city of New Orleans. Usually it's they're being robbed and they're fighting back or whatever the case may be.
Well, I don't agree with that at all. I'm going to take that and say that is completely a mischaracterization of the shootings in the city of New Orleans. It's not robberies. It's dope hits. But go ahead.
Well, there are some of those. But, okay. But the people that get shot for dope hits, they're trying to get robbed of their dope or their cash or whatever the case may be.
But that's a mischaracterization, because if you say that and don't add that caveat, then you're not going to be speaking for the tourism board anytime soon. We know that.
Well, no, I mean, plus, I'm
but you understand what I'm saying.
I hear you.
If you make that statement that it's robberies, then we got a problem.
But a lot of times when people get shot, it's people that aren't involved in the dope world that just get robbed. I mean, that's just a fact. But I've never seen someone get shot over an extension cord. People were having an argument, a dispute over an extension cord. And someone got shot over that on St. Claude Avenue the other day. An argument over an extension cord turned violent along St. Claude Avenue when a man shot another man multiple times. Jeez, you would think if you're arguing about an extension cord, if somebody got shot, it would just be once. No, this guy got shot multiple times. This happened 2 days ago on Saturday. And it was in broad daylight. Very brazen. It happened right around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when the gunfire was reported. Police said a 36-year-old man and his friend noticed an extension cord running from a property in the 6200 block of St. Claude Avenue to an abandoned house next door. So he removed the cord, prompting a stranger to turn up and demand it back. You see, here's the first problem, Brewster. If I'm just hanging around the 6200 block, St. Claude Avenue, and I see an extension cord running from one house to an abandoned house, I'm probably going to keep walking. I'm probably not going to say, hey, why is that extension cord running from that house to that abandoned house next door? Because there's probably other things that I want to do that day. And I'm thinking to myself, if I get involved in this, because whoever's running an extension cord from this house over here to this abandoned house, there's a reason why, and the reason is probably nefarious. Do I want to get myself in the middle of this? Okay, you can yell at me and say, oh, you're one of those people, John. You're one of those people. You're lazy. You don't want to get involved. Well, in this particular case, you're right. I don't want to get involved. So once this 36-year-old guy and his friend noticed the extension cord running from one house to an abandoned house next door, he removed that extension cord. And of course, the stranger turned up and demanded it back. He said, what are you doing with my extension cord? And then the guy said, well, look, it's an abandoned house and shouldn't be here. And then the guy whose extension cord it was said, what business is it of yours? They fought briefly, and then the stranger left, and it looked like, all right, we can get on with our day. But then the stranger came back with a gun to shoot the man multiple times over an extension cord. An extension cord. The victim was taken to a hospital where he was listed in stable condition. That's why the murder rate was low last year, because our medical care is getting more abundant in this city, and it's fantastic. So as of this morning, the guy who was shot multiple times because of an extension cord, he's still alive. Now, I wonder if he learned a lesson. Next time he's walking down the street in New Orleans and he sees an extension cord running from a house into an abandoned, I don't want to say crack house, blighted house, just an abandoned house. If he's going to get involved again and say, hey, that extension cord shouldn't be running into that abandoned house. I mean, we all know that. You know that. I know that. But are we gonna risk removing the extension cord from the abandoned property and get shot several times? No, I'm glad the person is still alive, and that's some good news. Hey, coming up on the show, we are going to tell you a new study just came out. Do you think people prefer doing sex when they're drunk or when they're high? Well, I've got a study just came out. This might surprise you a little bit.
I don't know what's more disturbing, people going around asking that or people going around answering that question. But we'll find out.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. I just saw a friend of mine on Facebook post something about how a restaurant chain near where he lives, they are changing the name of their French fries to crack fries. And evidently they're so good that you're gonna eat those French fries like crackheads smoke crack. Now look, I get a kick out of that. I think it's all right, but I'm surprised they're allowed to do that. I'm surprised that no one has called that restaurant yet and said, drug addiction isn't funny, man. My sister was on crack. She was on the pipe. She's dead. Dead. And now I go to your restaurant, I'm going to be reminded of my dead crackhead sister, because every time I order French fries, I got to order the crack fries. I wouldn't be surprised to see this restaurant changing the name of the crack fries again, saying, well, sorry, we offended too many people who knew too many drug addicts. And so we're going to go back to just calling these French fries. I'm surprised French people haven't complained. Well, why are they French fries? Why are you calling them French fries? Oh, just because.
Well, you remember back after 9/11, it lasted about a week, but we changed them to Freedom Fries. Wasn't that after 9/11, or what was the event that caused that? I thought it was 9/11.
Yeah, I remember
Freedom
that.
Fries.
And for a little bit, they were Freedom Fries, and then people said, no, let's go back to French fries.
Freedom Fries was a political euphemism for French fries. The term was actually born in 2003 when then-Republican chairman of the Committee on House Administration, Bob Ney, renamed the menu item in three congressional cafeterias in response to France's opposition to the proposed invasion of Iraq. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, couple years after 9/11.
Not directly, yeah, related to 9/11.
That's what it was.
Freedom Fries.
And the name French fries came, which one of our, was it Jefferson?
I thought it was Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson. I was like, boy, you got to see what they're doing with these potatoes over
right,
there.
Right, they're frying them in this hot fat, and they're tasty.
So anyways, this restaurant that's calling them crack fries now, I'm telling you right now, I'm predicting it. You're going to hear us do a story on this show in the near future how they're not called crack fries anymore because too many people who knew crack addicts were offended.
Are you familiar with this chain? Serving them Hopcat?
No, that's why I never mentioned it.
Hmm.
Somewhere in Detroit, but I have we both have a mutual friend that lives there, and he just posted that. And I said, really, crack fries? I'm surprised they were allowed to do that, and the people getting offended the way they do these days. Can't take it. Hey, they just did a study
Hey, what?
When it comes to people enjoying doing sex. And the question was, do you enjoy doing sex more when you're high than when you're drunk? And I guess when you're high, they're talking about, because now marijuana is becoming legal all over the country. So they want to know, they were asking people, do you enjoy doing sex more when you're high on weed or drunk on alcohol? That was, they did that in the, well, what do you think they said?
I told you before, I don't care. But tell us.
The majority said they like it high because it feels better. When you're drunk, you're just sloppy. That's what they're saying. Hey, coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. And boy, what a game yesterday. The New Orleans Saints going to the NFC Championship game on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, there are people all over the country who have been banned from Walmart, the Walmart in their town, in their area. And I'm thinking to myself, when you look at the pictures and the videos of the people at Walmart, who possibly can get banned from Walmart? I mean, when you look at some of the people that go in there, this woman got banned from Walmart because she was driving around Walmart in one of those electric carts and she was drinking wine from an empty Pringles potato chips can. When I saw the story, I thought it was Bayou 95.7's very own cat. I thought
blah blah blah.
You and I are starting to think alike then again, but after 10 years.
But then I saw this was in Texas. This happened, and Kat's okay. Thanks for listening to the show. Ginty is next. Ginty Music Notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 on Bayou 95.7.